Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you glory. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's turn about to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babies in Christ. So this message was being preached to the church. Paul was writing to the church, just as I'm preaching to the church. He wasn't having a crusade. He was preaching to the church. And he was telling the church, which is supposed to be a spiritual church, that he couldn't speak to them as spirituals. He couldn't. So he had to talk to the church as if he was talking to unbelievers. Because they couldn't understand spiritual things. And it will amaze you to know that there are so many people in the church who still cannot understand spiritual things. It's only when you speak in carnal terms that they can understand. He says that if you are babies, then I have fed you with milk and not with meat. Can you imagine if I a grown up? That's a grown up person who, even when she eats kenke, she doesn't get full. You go and give her milk to drink. You are going to end up killing the person. Do you get it? But if you are supposed to be giving heavy meal and we end up giving him porridge, he will not get full and he will always not be happy. Do you get it? Now when you bring it to the church, that's what is happening. If you are supposed to be giving a certain kind of food and you are not giving that food, and not because the food is not there, but because you are not able to eat the food. You get it? It's that you are grown up without teeth. Grown up, but you don't have any teeth, so we have to give you mashed potato before you eat. In some way. So that's exactly the problem Paul was addressing. You get it? The problem God was addressing. I was talking to somebody who said he has stopped going to church. He said he has stopped going to church. I asked him why. Then he said that there are a lot of poor people in the church. And when the church is doing fundraising for buildings and things, they should put some down for those who are poor. And so he doesn't even pay tithe. And that his tithe. So I asked him, what do you do with your tithe? He said, when I take my tithe, I'll go and look for poor people in the church. And I'll distribute my tithe to them. And that he has stopped going to church. So I said, you may be correcting a bad thing in a bad way. So you may be correcting a bad thing with a bad thing, because your tithe is your tithe. We have a place for almsgiving and all the help. But then what I told him was that when we come to church, you get it? We come and teach Christians how to live. We don't come and give to Christians things. You don't understand what I said? Peter said to the man at the gate called Beautiful, that silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, you get it? Such as I have, I give. You get it? So I told him that when we come to church, we come and make Christians, and that what is happening these days is that we are not making Christians. You get it? Because if I make you a Christian, you're not depending on me to give you money. You'll be depending on God for your breakthrough. In case you're also thinking like he is thinking, it's a mistake. Do you get it? Because there is a way Christians must be brought up. Christians are spiritual people. Do you get it? And there's a way they should understand things. So I told him that if he was a Christian, he would rather be teaching the Christians how to live as Christians. So Paul was saying that You are supposed to be taught in a certain way. But we can't. We can't. We are feeding you with things that are below you, if you like. That are below you. By now, you see. So he said, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you certain things, you are still carnal. So what Paul was saying is that as Christians, we should be spiritual. Hallelujah. As Christians, we should be spiritual. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 to 14, and just recap it what we started and we go on. 1 Corinthians 2, 12 to 14. He said, now we have received not the spirit of the world. It means there's the spirit of the world. Do you get it? But the spirit which is of God. But the spirit which is of God. Why have we received the spirit which is of God? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Hallelujah. So if you're a Christian and you become spiritual, you get it? You activate the spirit which is of God in you. And then you freely know. You know the things that are freely given to you. Because there are things which are freely given to you, but you don't know. Wives are freely given to you. Husbands are freely given to you. Children are freely given to you. Those who are receiving it. Jobs are freely given to you. Freely. My wife, even if you pay the dowry, a wife is not the dowry. A wife is the atmosphere you are living with. Hallelujah. So you didn't pay anything. It was still free. A good marriage is freely given. Hallelujah. Weak things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. And I told the other day that the natural man is not necessarily an unbeliever. Amen. The natural man is not necessarily an unbeliever. You can be a Christian but be a natural man. A Christian who thinks in a certain way is a natural man. Are you here with me? Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Hallelujah. So we have to be very spiritual. And then we came to the fact that there are many things that are spiritual that when you know and you believe in it and walk in it, makes you a successful Christian. Helps you as a Christian to do well. There are many things, and everything in the Bible is spiritual, actually. Everything in the Bible is spiritual. And everything is to the end that your future will be bright. That you'll be successful in everything. And so we started talking about some of these things that are very spiritual. Very spiritual, but we take for granted. Very spiritual to the fact that it will help you as a Christian. Now, what are the things we spoke about? Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. Wow. You see that the Bible has explanation for everything. Yes. And so you have to believe the Bible. And until you believe the Bible, you are not a spiritual person. Until you believe the Bible. If you have questions, then you are not a spiritual person. Do you get it? Because the Bible is a spiritual book. And you have to believe it. Amen. Now, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such There is no law. Hallelujah. It is what? The fruits of the Spirit. Which means that these things cannot come unless you have the Holy Spirit. Do you get it? There are people who are naturally humble. Do you get it? That humility is not that fruit of the Spirit. Do you get it? There is a humility that is only the Spirit that can make you bring forth. You may have a good moral, naturally be quiet person and everything, but if this is not true, then every other thing is not true. Do you get it? The fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Now, these things are virtues, but I would say they are spiritual virtues. That if you allow the Holy Spirit, you allow yourself in the Holy Spirit, and you allow yourself to develop it, it is going to make you great. It's going to make you successful. It's going to help you. It's going to give you the things that you need. And it's going to put you in the way that God wants you to be. Hallelujah. You know, many of us, what you know about spiritual things are like prayer. Prayer is spiritual, isn't it? Let's pray. It's spiritual. And it brings blessings. And also, but there are these things also which are spiritual that brings blessings. And if God says develop it, it will take you to places. Amen. So the other day we started with what? Humility. Do you remember? Humility. Humility we saw as one of the fruits of the Spirit. And as long as you allow yourself to develop that virtue, you are going to be successful. Many people have been wealthy by just being humble. Hallelujah. And humility is also the same as meekness. Amen. And humility is what? Something that makes, I define humility as your ability to humble yourself under the word of God. That's how I define humility. Your ability to humble yourself, put yourself under the word. That means you are going this way and you read the word and the word says it's this way. Humility is where you tell yourself, oh, I was going here, but now the word of God says it's this way. So let me stop and go this way. That's humility. Humility is not coming to meet somebody and say, oh, good morning, good afternoon. You see, there are some people who say good morning, good afternoon, but you advise them, they will never ever take any one of it. You call it from full respect. They would come, they will give you, but there is nothing that you say from the word or advice that they will take. So such things, you cannot say such a person is a humble person. Hallelujah. So you have to be humble. The lack of humility or meekness in you is the lack of seeing what is wrong with you. Do you get it? It's the lack of seeing what is wrong with you. And many times, you see, there is something wrong with you. But instead of humbling yourself to say that, look, I was going this way. Now I have heard the word. And the word says this, so let me be flexible. And go this way, say, no! Do you get it? And if you go to marriages, it's humility and lack of it that breaks many marriages. Friendships. Because, you see, no matter who you are, at least you have a fault. At least. You have a fault. But you, there is no fault. Ever since you got married, that you have accepted that it's your fault. Ever since you entered into that friendship or that marriage, there is no time you have ever accepted that this is my fault. Or even without accepting, even you yourself sit down and said, oh, I have this weakness. Do you get it? There's no way. And some of those people are for example, phlegmatics. They are one of those people who are, it's very difficult for them to see. Very difficult for them to see when there is something wrong. The thing is, it takes them so long to take a decision. So I think it takes them so long to know what is wrong with them. Do you get it? And then when you see what is wrong with them, to you say it, they will never accept it. Every time you say it, it will be a problem. You see? But you see, you may, that's what I say, you must be led by the Spirit. You may have whatever temperament. Me, I've read all this temperament, the pros and cons and everything. But at the end of the day, it should be Spirit controlled. That's how people look at me. Yeah, at the end, it should be Spirit controlled. That's how people look at me. They say they don't know my temperament. Because when people say you are this, you are this, you are that, I almost want to be like this, but who do you say I am? Who do men say that I am, and who do you also say I am? Because no matter what you are, it should be Spirit controlled. You get it? So your ability to accept, you get it? So be flexible. And by that is, you may think it's natural. It's not natural. That is why they call it the fruit of the Spirit. It's supernatural. It's supernatural. It's not natural. So some of you have been fighting with unnatural things. It's the fruit. So the more mature you become, let's say in the marriage, you realize that some things you used to fight over, now you are not fighting over it again. So meaning that's not because somebody has changed though. It's because somebody has become spiritual. The person has become spiritual. He has become spiritual. To put himself or herself under the word at the end of the day. Hallelujah. When you can't see, when you cannot see, the Bible calls it stubbornness. Stubbornness. And some people are stubborn. And stubbornness is what? Like what? Witchcraft. So some of you, you are not flying, but you are witches and wizards. You are very stubborn. No, there are some people, you can never talk to them without they asking you more questions. That's why Bishop said that when he's talking to you and he goes more than 5 minutes, he will stop talking to you. Because he will realize that you are not seeing the spirituality of it. You see, because oftentimes, when somebody is talking to you in a spiritual realm, he himself may not even know what he's saying, talking to you about. So when you ask a person so many questions, the person says, I don't know. And often people say, I don't know why I'm saying what I'm saying. I don't know. You see, so you have to develop the ability of hearing without trying to understand. Do you get it? Otherwise, you become stubborn. You cannot be spoken to. Hallelujah. Some of you should have been married by now. You are married by now. Do you get it? But stubbornness. Some of you should have been working in certain places by now. But you see, that's why I'm saying that the lack of seeing, what, even as I'm talking about it, the lack of seeing what is wrong with you will make you even more angry. Because you don't know that there is something wrong with you. So the lack of it is where the problem is. The spirituality is where the problem is. Do you get it? So you need to be flexible. Turn to your friend and say, be flexible. Be humble in the sight of the Lord. And God will lift you up. Hallelujah. Another fruit of the Spirit is what? Patience. It's patience, isn't it? Patience. Very, very important. Patience is the fruit of the Spirit, which is also the same as long suffering. You mean they go together. Suffering long and patience. Look, patience can give you miracles. You know that. Patience. I'm sure when you married your husband, he was not as nice as he is today in terms of Nusubai. Yeah. But it has taken time. It has taken time. As my wife has been patient with me, and as I've been patient with her most of the time, Do you get it? Patient. As I have patiently waited on the Lord. Do you get it? Patient means that you are able to wait on God without forcing yourself into blessings. Because you know, people have forced themselves into some blessings and it has not been easy for them. Hallelujah. Force themselves to bless them. Patience will not make you rush. Yeah. Wait for your time. It's a spiritual thing. Because look, it is not only, it's not a song, it's a scripture. That in his time, there's a time and season for everything. Hallelujah. There's a time and season for everything. Yeah. And then in his time, he makes all things beautiful. Be patient. Hallelujah. The only problem is, what is his time? That they all things were together. So if you add humility to patience, that means that you are able to accept the word of God, take correction and with patience, that it's working for you. Then you will see that blessings. Look, the people I have seen that are blessed after I've been a pastor for some time. Do you get me? I've been a pastor for not less than 27 years. Not less than that. Do you get it? I've been a pastor. I've seen people come to church and leave, come to church and stay, come to church and go elsewhere. And I've seen those who have been blessed. And I've come to see that, look, the things that make people blessed there, they are the things that we will usually overlook. They are the things we usually overlook. Yeah. One day I was talking to somebody. I gave the person some opportunity. But somehow the person didn't take the opportunity. So even me, I told myself, I don't think this thing is very powerful. It's because I thought that thing was very powerful or something. But at the point I told him, maybe this thing is not very powerful. So then I called another person and gave that same opportunity to the person. I was there one day when the person called me, this new person called me that, I am coming to see you with my father. So I said, for what? He said, oh, for what you have done. I said, what have I done? His father had traveled from abroad. He didn't even go home. His things were in his car. They drove straight to, and I was not even at home, I was somewhere else. They drove straight there. And said, look, what you have done, we have never seen some before. And they told us, I said, ah. So I asked him that, this thing, are you sure it's important? He says, important. I said, are you sure? I was so shocked. And what I was saying, I told him, it's not necessary. Because someone have been made to think that that thing was not important. That's how I thought, honestly. I was so shocked that he was. I said, why do you come with your father to do this? And he said, no. It's so powerful. So then I understood. I said, so this is such powerful. And yet, another person didn't see it as a powerful thing. Do you get it? So you see that the things that make people blessed, the things that make people blessed, they are things that you have, you see, it's so much spiritual that you may think that it's nothing. You see, and even people can make you feel that these things are nothing. For example, if you are a teacher and you are teaching. I remember when somebody came to tell me that, I have some friends in the church and they are looking for a child. And so, I want them to leave your church to go to another church so that they will get the child. Because you are not a somebody. You get it? That day I was standing here. If I say it was one of the lowest points in my life as a pastor, I said, wow. Then I said, then being a teacher is not a powerful thing at all. But that day, something came to me and I felt like, in fact, I almost insulted her. And I said, they are not going anywhere. Within a short time, those same people, they took seed and give birth. It was shocking. Then I told myself that if these people had left, I would forever tell myself that this thing is not powerful. I forever, see, so people make you feel that some things are not powerful, and then you leave the powerful things that can rather help you. Look at something like humility. How can humility make you a blessed person? One of the commonsensical things humility can do for you is that you have finished school, you say you are going to buy a Benz. You see? You just started work, you say you are going to buy a Benz. If you are not humble, do you get it? If you are not humble, and then the person says, you come and see the person, says, oh, why do you buy a Benz? Why don't you buy Hyundai, the one that attack Kambu, how do you call that one? Picanto. Kia Picanto or Pinto. Another one is called Pinto. Why don't you say, if you look at me, is it Picanto I should drive? It's immediately, you have started off with problems. Do you get it? So there are many powerful things. Do you get it? And then patience is one of the most powerful spiritual virtues. And it's very spiritual. In the Bible, you see countless examples of the spirituality of being patient. Countless examples. The ability to wait for your time. Ability to accept delay and annoyance. Hey, delay without complaint. You have asked God, Lord, I need this, and the thing is delaying. The ability to accept it, Fred, without annoyance and complaint. That is patience. And how many of you have been there like that before? And you are not being, but let me tell you something. No matter what happens, that your blessing will come. It will come. It will come at the time that it will come. And now is the time. Hey! Sometimes when I read the Bible and I read about certain people, I say, it is good they had patience. So if I look at Joseph, I say, could I have been Joseph? Could I have been Joseph? That I didn't do, you say I did it. Oh man. Hey, from Christ, do better. Hallelujah. Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 28, verse 22. He that hasted to be rich had an evil eye. You are in a hurry to be rich. In other words, anybody who is in a hurry to succeed, you see, what even is even more dangerous is what these days people use to measure success. Do you get it? Is that you have succeeded. That succeeded is if there's a problem. And then that problem, the Bible says, he that rushes, hasted to succeed that way, you have an evil eye. And many people have rushed. If it is marriage, you are rushing. If it is job, you are rushing. If it is money, you are rushing. You see, Bible says you have an evil eye. And consider not that poverty. You see, the thing that you are now forcing to get, you are rushing to get, you don't consider that it's problems. Issues. I know one sister who locked a brother. You know, the brother who said that, lock. She locked the brother. Do you know how she locked the brother? She wanted the brother so much. So one day, when she knew that she could get pregnant, then she made a way where there was no way. She made a way for the brother. And that day of all days, the brother too, his brake failed. So as he was on the boat, he was applying the brake.
It didn't stop. But I realized into the hole he went. Hey! Long, long after, the sister came and told the brother what had happened. So she locked the brother. So people had no option than to say, go ahead and marry. So they married. Uh-huh. But after the marriage, consider it not that when you lock it that way, when you lock it that way, you have not considered that poverty shall come. That means that problems shall come afterwards. Problems shall come afterwards. You lock it that way. You have locked the brother. Don't worry, now you have come. You gave your longest kiss of the world, but you are not considering that poverty shall come on you and overtake you. Hallelujah. Do you get it? You see, it's a virtue. It's spiritual to be patient. Hallelujah. The ability to accept delays and wait for your time. After you have done all, not that you are lazy. Not that you are lazy. Because listen, as for me, when I read the Bible, I don't understand God. But I accept the Bible. I don't understand God. Because I don't understand why you make Zachariah wait for all these years. What if he backslided? The temptations were too many. And why you waited all this while? Then he had even given up. Then you appeared to him. Why didn't you do it? But you see, he knew what he was doing. He knew. You see, the guy who was going to be born was not an ordinary boy. Was not an ordinary boy. So it was necessary that some measures were put in place to receive the guy called John the Baptist. And you too, it is necessary that some measures are put in place to receive that man, that woman, that child. It's necessary. And some of you, the measure that should be put in place is your bad nature and bad character. Because if God gave you the man today, tomorrow night he will leave you. The things you can say with your mouth, the things you can do. Hey! One day I heard something that a wife told a husband. When I heard, I said, hey, this man, he can easily not be a man again. Hey! Some people can say things to hurt people. Oh, the thing that I said, what? A woman told a man this. Look, I said, a man is strong. Because if you don't take it, you cannot even start again. I mean, starting. You become like a Abion machine. I said, hey. So the patience is that God is taking time to prepare you. Some is the John the Baptist. Some is your own problem that God has to take. But it's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing. That's why these days, as Bishop taught us, when I'm praying now, I pray for important things. For instance, I pray that I'll be patient, even though it's a fruit of the Spirit. But it's also a spirit. Yeah, it's spiritual. I pray for things. I pray for sound mind. I pray to laugh. Because I can't say it's not easy. It's not natural to laugh. And it's not easy to laugh. So I pray for love. Because when you love, it brings you more blessings. Are you understanding me? So I want you to know that there are a lot of spiritual things that we take for granted, but they are very heavy. And they are the fruit of the Spirit. Let's read the fruit of the Spirit again. Let's read the fruit of the Spirit again. This is that. See, when you hear this, you mean, what is this? But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Love. Do you know what love is? Love. You see, when you give love, you don't know the things that come to you. God showed love to us just once by giving his son, Jesus Christ. Look at what is happening ever since then. Love. Joy. Joy is a spiritual thing. That's why another time, you will see that it is never good to work with unlucky people. Some people have bad luck. And people who often don't are not joyful, are not happy, they are moody. Oh, me, I don't like working with such people at all. It's contagious. But that, right, has affected you. It's a virus. But that, so me, if I work with you and you are always like moody, you are this, there's no joy and things, Charlie, go and find somebody else and go and do this thing. But I don't have time for those things at all. Because it means that you are not mature. Because joy is a fruit of the spirit. And it has taken you too long to start putting smiles on your face. Because joy in the heart puts smiles on the face. Yeah. It has taken you too long. Do you get it? So avoid unlucky people, isn't it? There are some people, you don't have to work with them again. Amen. Then, peace. Peace is spiritual. Do you know that sometimes in the midst of confusion, you can take some decisions that you can regret? Yeah. Sometimes you can even die when you are not supposed to die because you are confused. But when you are peaceful, in the midst of everything, you can still take decisions. Yeah. And then Bible says, well, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. These are the fruits of the Spirit. Each one is a spiritual thing. If time permits, we may go into it another time. But for now, we are ending this series for today. But the time permits, what I said, they are all very powerful spiritual things. So from today, let's walk as spirituals. Hallelujah. From today, let's walk as spirituals. Do you know that worry is the absence of peace? Yeah. Because when the boat was capsizing, when the guys were in the ship and they were moving, what was Jesus doing? On what? On a pillow. Can you imagine? In the midst of the problems, though, the guy was on a pillow. Hey. It's a blessing, though. The ability to have your pillow and sleep on it, the midst of the worry, the troubles. That thing. One day somebody told me that about one sister in the church. Said, hey, the sister is going through a lot of problems. And I said, Lord, I pray that you give her peace. You give her peace. Because see, some of the problems, they will not be solved now. Do you get it? They will be solved, but they will not be solved now. So what you need is the peace to enjoy till it is solved. Yeah. The peace to enjoy till it is solved. But it will not be solved now. But it will be solved. It will be. Look. If you lie about my car, give me any person there who had a problem who was not solved. And that one was not solved because she was cursed. Yeah. You give it to me. Tell me which person had a problem in the Bible which was not solved. And you will see that all of them were bad. Just that sometimes they needed something in between to sustain them. Do you get it? And I pray for that thing to sustain you. That you will definitely carry your baby. You will definitely sleep with your husband. You will definitely travel with your husband. You will definitely drop your children at school. You will definitely do that. You will definitely go to work. You will definitely go over that problem. You will definitely. But I pray for you to be sustained. I pray for you to be sustained in between. And that is where you need peace. In the midst of the storm, he was asleep on a pillow. And if you look at Jesus' chest, you could see somebody who will snore. It's only the Holy Spirit Bible says we shouldn't blaspheme. But Jesus is our brother. We can say some things. After the Holy Spirit, I'm very careful about him. If you look at Jesus' chest, you know he could snore. So as the people were there, confusion, they heard, they thought that actually there was a thunder or something coming. No, no, it was Jesus who was snoring. They said, hey! You don't care that we are dying. He doesn't care. He was also on the boat. But he had the spirit and the fruit of peace in the midst of the storm. Hallelujah. And may that be your portion. Every problem you have is a problem. I'm telling you, nobody's problem is not a problem. Never tell anybody what is this. Is. Everybody's problem is a problem. What you think is not a problem, is somebody's major miracle. Do you get it? Every problem is a problem. But I want you to know that God is still telling you, no matter the problem you have, He says that He will solve it for you. Only be still and know that He is God. And that's what peace and joy. Peace. And that thing is not normal. It's not normal. It comes from the Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit. That in the midst of the storm, in the midst of everything, you are still smiling. You are still hopeful. You are still peaceful. You are not sitting down. And anybody who passes is like annoying you. Anybody who says, no, it's not normal. Father, we pray that as spirituals, we will stay long on the Holy Spirit to bear spiritual fruits, which has the ability to make us succeed. Father, as I speak to your people today, I have this feeling and knowing in my heart that there's nobody here whose problem you cannot solve. There's no one here whose problem is so difficult, so wild that you can't solve. I have this assurance in my spirit that every problem here is solvable, and that you are here to meet them at the point of their needs. Only, Lord, you are asking that they will be patient and wait for you. So I pray that you strengthen their faith. Strengthen their hearts, strengthen their hands, oh Lord, and that has come to weaken them, that has come to break them. By your intervention, may they rather become stronger, may they rather become even more powerful, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Thank you, Lord, for that woman who is touching you today, who has said within herself that I will not live today until I see my miracle. Thank you for that man. Thank you for that person whom today you purpose to bless before we close this service, that they are not living the same as they came. They are living here with blessings, with miracles, in the name of Jesus. Father, bless your people. I bless them with security that this week, in their going out and coming in, keep them from the evil one. I bless them with divine and spiritual provisions that this week provide for them their needs. Lord, I pray that where there is no way, this week you make a way for them. For those whose backs are against the wall, and it seems that there's nothing they can do, Father, make a way for them. Do a miracle in their lives. Father, even those who have forgotten about their problems and have given up, and have said to themselves that this one can never be, this week, surprise them with a blessing. Deliver from evil. Deliver from accident. Deliver from every evil plans of people, and bless your people, bless your children, in the name of Jesus. Put your hands together for Jesus. As for the miracles you have received, as for the blessings you have received, but deep down in your heart, you are not sure you are born again. You are not sure you go to heaven or hell when you die. Deep down in your heart, you are not sure you are born again. And you want to say, Pastor, please pray for me. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to take a personal decision to give my life to Jesus. So, Pastor,
pray for me to give my life to Jesus. Pray that God will forgive me of my sins so that when I die, I'll go to heaven. You want me to pray for you to give your life to Jesus? Father, I want to thank you for these ones who have given their life to Jesus. Thank you for this important step they have taken. I want you to say this with me. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for today. I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that because of what I have done, you have forgiven me of my sins. You have washed me with your blood. And that from today, I am yours and you are mine. In Jesus' name, amen.